Well, he is risen. He is risen. This morning, I want to invite you to an adventure. How many people like adventures? Oh, quite a few of you like adventures. Some are like, I'm not quite sure. But this is an adventure of a lifetime. This adventure won't necessarily bring you wealth and fortune. It won't promise that everything will go your way, or that life will be smooth, or that hardship won't knock at your door and make its home in your living room. Because this adventure is about something much bigger and far greater than you can ever imagine. This adventure has you in it, but you are not the main character. But your decision to join this adventure is a matter of life and death. Let me explain. Right at the very beginning of time, God created the heavens and he created the earth. And he separated the darkness from the light and he said the light was good. He imagined and created humans in his likeness. He formed them to bear his image in all of creation. We were set apart. He loved them, and he created us to give glory to him and pleasure to him. Everything was good in this place. He walked with them, talked with them in the garden. But God also knew that in a matter of time, these humans would make a decision. His created ones, the ones that he loved and formed and imagined in the very being, the ones he loved, would make a decision to either trust in the Lord, their creator, their father, or they would make a decision to trust their own will. Well, I'd love to say that they chose trust. They trusted their dad, they trusted their father. But here, Adam and Eve in the garden chose their own will. They chose not to trust their father, not to put their whole life and continue to walk with him, but they disobeyed him. And they did the very one thing that they were told not to do. Crazy. They were given everything and said, just don't do this. Don't eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just imagine that for a moment. You've been given everything. You're walking with the Father, and yet you're told not to go over there. Don't do that. You're going to die if you do. And yet you kind of look at it every once in a while and go, I wonder. So they disobeyed their Father. They ate the fruit, and at the very moment of eating the fruit, sin entered the DNA of humanity, bringing condemnation, bringing destruction, bringing guilt, bringing wickedness, bringing brokenness, darkness, separation, and death at the very heart of mankind. And God also knew that they needed a rescue plan. Thank you, God. He knew right at the moment, that moment, I have a rescue plan for my people. He wasn't a disinterested father. He wasn't sitting over there unaccustomed to what they were going through, but he was like, I'm interested. I need to redeem my people, my created ones, the ones that I loved and longed to dwell with. But because God is holy and pure, anything that isn't holy and pure can't abide with him, is separated. So God made laws to abide by, hoping his people would follow these laws, abide by them. He put in place sacrificial sin offerings. And if you read that, it was lots of rituals, lots of things to put into place to atone for sin. And it was a lot of work to atone for sin. And humans in their sinful desires often sought their own pleasure. If we read the Old Testament, they often sought their own pleasure. They forgot about the Lord. They sought their will time and time again. So God, rich in mercy, abounding in unending love for his created ones, chose to send himself, Jesus. He chose to send himself to come as Jesus to atone for sins once and for all. Philippians 2, 6 to 11 says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That was his purpose, to bring glory to God his Father. And so Jesus' decision to walk with us, to be like us, to walk with the broken, to walk with the marginalized, to walk with the sinner. And as he entered the Garden of Gethsemane and he cried out, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done, faced the reality of our humanness, our decision, will we follow and lay down our life for Jesus? His decision to follow his Father changed everything for us. Jesus knew that his final destination wasn't the cross. It wasn't the tomb. It wasn't the fact that he went to Hades. It wasn't the fact that he rose again. Those were the picture, that was the picture of what he did, but his destination was to dwell in us. That was his heart. God's heart was always to come and dwell with us, and Jesus came so that he could dwell in our hearts and find a home in us and spread out in us the fullness of who he is. John 17, 25 to 26, this is Jesus' prayer to the Father, and he's saying, righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make myself known to them, that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So that was his destination, to live in us. Good news. Good news at an adventure. Jesus came as our sin offering. He came so that we would be justified, forgiven, and a redeemed people, constantly being transformed into his likeness, as we say, not my will, but your will be done, Jesus. He came so that we would have life and life abundant. He came to invite us to the adventure of surrendering every part of our life over to him, so that we would be made pure and spotless, able to stand in front of our Father. Stand in front of our Father, pure and holy, so that his fullness can live in us for all eternity. That was his plan. So that we would no longer be separated by a Father who loves us. I love that. But this is a decision. And as a people, we're called to make it a yes or no. We're all called to make one decision. We can't be lukewarm. We have to either say, yes, I will follow, or no, I won't. being eternally separated from God is a choice. So we have a choice to make. I can either say, yes, I will be reconciled to the Father who imagined me, created me, formed me in my mother's womb, or I can say no, and I can be eternally separated from a God who loves. We either choose to believe that Jesus came, that he died, that he rose again, seated now with Christ, making intercession on our behalf, or we don't believe that. And in that decision, we are eternally separated. When we make a yes decision, we are adopted into the family of God. We're adopted by God. He gathers us in and says, I'm going to give you my full inheritance. Every good thing I'm going to give to you because you're my son. And we bear God's image, and he commissions us to do his works here as it is in heaven. He fills us as representatives of Jesus in all that we do. He fills us with the Holy Spirit, giving us the ability to be part of a rescue mission for others who are still walking in darkness, who haven't seen the glory of light that lives in our hearts. To share this gospel, the good news to all that we meet, is our commission as brothers and sisters and as sons and daughters of an eternal Father. When we hand over our will, he makes our heart his home. And he constantly changes you, transforms you, and makes all things new so that you are more like him and not like you. Commanding us to love like him, loving God the Father and loving others. As a little kid, I decided to follow Jesus. I think I was 6 years old, pretty young. I knew that he forgave my sins. He washed me clean. I recognized that in his work. That's why I accepted it. I loved Jesus. I loved God. I didn't understand everything at that point, but I knew that he washed me. And in my idea, in that place, I felt like I needed to be a pretty good Christian kid. So go to church, go to Sunday school, read my Bible, pray, and maybe share the gospel. That's a good Christian. And then some bad things happened in my life. Things that were beyond my control, things that caused me guilt, caused me shame, that caused me to shrink back in the things of the Lord. And I wondered, hey, I'm a Christian. Should bad things happen to Christians? And if these bad things are happening to me, then I must be doing something wrong. I must not be praying hard enough. I must not be reading the word enough. So what do? I do it all the more. Read the word more, pray more, do all the right things trying to be perfect. Because isn't that what it's called to be perfect? So I tried even more to be good. And maybe that would help, just to do all the right things. Say all the right things, be kind to others, love others, being gentle, being peaceful to others, being perfect. Well, perfection is a heavy yoke to carry as a believer. I don't know if you felt that way. Even as an unbeliever, perfection is a pretty hard thing to walk in. And eventually, because I was doing everything in my own strength to earn my salvation, I gave up my walk with God. I said, you know what? I'm tired of feeling ashamed. I'm tired of feeling guilty. I'm tired of this hard work because you're not changing me. You're not transforming me, and you're not answering the cries of my heart. And I made this decision to live for myself. I can be good. I can have a good life. I can trust in myself. because I don't necessarily believe I can trust in a father who doesn't seem like he's answering my cries of my heart. And the pleasures of the world were enticing in that place. My vision was now on earth rather than in heaven. And so I put my trust in success. I put my trust in wealth. I put my trust in being a good, upright citizen. And I've got one life to live, so I better live at large. Yet something was missing at the very core of my heart longing. There was a void that I couldn't fill. I couldn't put anything into my heart in that place. I tried, okay, I'll make more money. Fill that in. I'll have more friends. Fill that in. I'll go to more parties. Try to feel like I'm satisfied. And yet there was a void, a darkness there that I couldn't come in. So I started searching spiritual enlightenment. Well, maybe I'll do this, so maybe I'll gain enlightenment. Maybe I'll follow this Buddha teaching and I'll gain more enlightenment. I began to look at things to try to find some spiritual connection. And yet everywhere I searched, I felt less spiritual. It still didn't satisfy that deep longing in my heart. And it seemed I had it all together. A partner, a house, a good job, friends. And yet what happens when all of that crashes and begins to crumble in your life? Because it does. If your hope is just on the earthly things, the things that decay and the things that crumble, it will crumble. My life felt empty and meaningless. And it was here in this moment that I encountered God, or God encountered me, where my heart was ready to believe the one true God. And he said to me, I'm not going to promise you the worldly things. I'm not going to promise you riches. I'm not going to promise you fame. I'm not going to promise you anything here on earth. But if you trust me, I will make your life an adventure. A life that is submitted to the Lord is a great adventure. And I chose to put my trust in him, so that he would dwell in me. And he said, I will provide for you all that you need. So I submitted it to his loving authority, surrendered every part of my life, and it's been an amazing adventure so far. Not without hardship, knocking at the front door and making its room in the living room, making its home there. But God has set my eyes on eternal things rather than the things on earth, and he's constantly tilting my head up to eternity rather than keeping my face forward to the things of the earth. And that's the struggle with all of us. That's the decision that all of us face as we walk with the Lord. Will we trust in what we see temporally, or will we trust in the eternal things and the eternal kingdom? I now try to love with an eternal perspective, knowing I'm going to mess up. The Lord said, you're going to mess up, Kenny. And that's part of being human, but my arms are welcome and you're forgiven. He gave me an eternal perspective on how I husband my wife. He's giving me an eternal perspective of how I father my daughter. He's given me an eternal perspective of how I walk with the body. And he's given me an eternal picture of how I'm called to love my enemy, even unto death. My hope is in Jesus, who offers me so much more than temporal things. He offers me love, joy, peace. He offers me patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And these are the things of the Spirit that lives in each one of us and which he's activating every single day with an eternal picture. And he walks me out of prison. And he walks me as my grave clothes constantly fall off. And I'm being made new every single day, which is a glorious thing. But this all comes to a place of making a decision. This means doing business with God. I felt like this morning, God saying, would you do business with me this morning? All of us. This means making room for his resurrection power and his life to be made manifest in every part of our life. So we're going to move into a time of ministry, but I want to, if Andrew wants to come up, and he's just going to play softly for a little bit. And I want us to, I'm going to share some decisions that we all need to make as we do business with God together. So if we can stand, if you're able to stand, if you need to stay seated, stay seated. That's fine. So there's a few decisions that we are called to make. Every human is called to make decisions. We are all going to stop breathing at some point in our life. The reality is that we're going to die. But what matters the most is how you live in the here and now. How you live your life right now really matters. Because you're not living for the temporal things that will fade away, but you're living for eternity. And so there's decisions that I feel that God is moving in us. And one of them is, if you're here this morning, you've never made a commitment to Jesus, that you've never surrendered your life over to him. You may feel like, ah, man, you know what? I live a good life. I'm a good person. That's good enough. The Lord says, that's not good enough. Because you can say you're good, but at the very core, you're broken and sinful and separated from God. And God is saying, will you invite me, Jesus, into your heart to live and abide into your home and make a home within you to forgive your sins? And he is knocking at your heart this morning. I believe he's knocking at someone's heart this morning. And he's asking, will you let me come in? Will you let me abide in you and transform you with my incredible love for you? And there may be others here this morning who need to make a decision to live a Spirit-filled life. You've already accepted Jesus. You've already been forgiven. But you're doing life in your own strength. Your decisions are yours. Your future is yours. The way you live your life is too temporal. Will you live a Spirit-filled existence? Will you believe the Holy Spirit is desiring for you to let go of all things and allow Jesus to give you his burden, which is light? I feel like this is a place of heavy burden. When you're doing life in your own strength, it's heavy. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, no, my burden is light for you. Hand over every part. I will fill you with a light burden. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And there may be others today who need to decide to live a kingdom life. To boldly proclaim the gospel message of Jesus, to not be afraid to lose your life, not be afraid to be mocked and ridiculed because of who lives in you, to be unashamed as the world sees Jesus in you, and to be totally surrendered in your life and have an eternal focus. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the very right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not the earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory." That's our inheritance. And there may be some of you who are just hungry. You are hungry for more of the Lord. You are not satisfied with what you have. And I believe the Lord is saying, there's so much more riches at my table of provision for you. Come and dine with me and receive all that I have as you hunger and thirst for righteousness. These decisions, all of these decisions, are going to be difficult. They're all going to challenge you at the very core of who you are. If you make a decision, yes, it will challenge you as a believer to the very core. If you make a no decision to Jesus, your life is going to be challenged at every part of your life. And yet making a decision is making a decision of yes, Jesus, come and transform my entire life so that it will never be the same again. So this is an exciting adventure. This is an exciting adventure. It's not without hardship, but this is exciting. And that's why we're together. That's why we're together as brothers and sisters, and those maybe who are not yet even believing, that we're called to walk in unity and fellowship with one another. But it's a matter of life and death. So I'll invite you, if you need to make a decision this morning, you know what? Come do business with the Lord. Feel free to come to the front. There'll be people to pray with you. As Andrew just prays quietly, and we'll just pray for you. But come and receive from the table of the Lord this morning all that he has for you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and knocking. I ask that you would stir our hearts, Lord, with what stirs yours. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do a work softening and ministering to every part of our hearts, Lord. Yeah. Help us to not be afraid to come to the table, this table of provision, and give us hungry hearts, Lord. Give us hungry hearts for more of you.